Gracious Father, as we come now to your word, I pray that you would open our hearts, open our ears to hear and understand what you long to communicate to us through it this morning. Father, I pray that you would take this glorious truth and let us not just bring it into our minds, but let it soak into our hearts, into our very soul, to where it actually moves us into response. And so we make our prayer this morning, come, Holy Spirit, come and do what only you can do to transform us more and more into the image of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, in this season, we recognize that most of our lives are being altered to varying degrees. People are recognizing that what they once thought was stable is no longer stable. People are taking time now to reflect on what really matters. More and more people I'm seeing are becoming open to having spiritual conversations. And so what our staff has been doing at St. Andrew's and the leadership of St. Andrew's, we've been talking about how do we make the most of this opportunity that we're in today? How do we make the most of this opportunity to see God's kingdom being extended in greater and greater ways? What does it look like for us to intentionally engage in the very works that Jesus did? Well, as we continue in this season of Easter, we're reminded that the death and resurrection of Jesus brings us into an intimate relationship with the Trinity. We're out of this relationship, we engage in the works of Jesus as a new way of life. And that's exactly what we find in John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. We find this, that the death and resurrection of Jesus brings us into an intimate relationship with the Trinity. We're out of this relationship, we engage in the works of Jesus as a new way of living. Now I want to first briefly talk about this new relationship that we have, because that relationship informs how we then live out our lives on a daily basis. Well, the context of this passage is the same that we looked at last week. Jesus is with his disciples in that upper room the night before he's arrested and then taken to the cross. This section is located in the midst of John's gospel and what many call Jesus' farewell discourse. And one of the things that Jesus knew was that the disciples would feel a great sense of loss when he died. And while they would experience loss for just a short amount of time, they would soon find that they would be ushered into this life-altering relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in this passage, Jesus is beginning to allude to this new relationship that his followers would have. We see this in John 14, verses 13 and 14. We read, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now here's the connection here. The fact that Jesus invites us to bring our prayers to him, to the Father, and how he delights to answer our prayers gives us insight into the intimacy of this new relationship. A few chapters later in John 17, Jesus speaks more clearly of this new relationship. We find it in John 17, verses 20 to 21. In the midst of this prayer, Jesus prays to his Father, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." You see that key statement? "And I in you, that they may also be in us." What we find in the scriptures is that our union with Christ brings us into this intimate communion with the Trinity. No longer are we alienated and left to ourselves, but we are invited to bring our prayers, knowing that the Father delights to hear them and delights to answer them. In fact, we are encouraged to ask for anything we want, anything, in Jesus' name. Well, you may say, okay, I've asked a lot of things and have not received them. Well, J.I. Packer helps bring some clarity to that. In one of his books on prayer, he wrote this. We have it on firm scriptural authority that the Father's response to requests faithfully, humbly, hopefully, expectantly made by his own children, out of a pure heart and an honest desire for God's glory, is never going to be a flat no. One way or another, God's response will be a positive response, though it may be this: I'm adjusting the terms of your prayer to give you something better than you asked for. Or it may be this: I know that this isn't the moment in which answering your prayer would bring you and others most blessing, so I'm asking you to wait. Or it could be this: I'm answering your prayer, but you don't know the strategy I'm working on, and it doesn't at the moment feel or look like an answer at all. Nonetheless, it is. Keep praying, keep trusting, and keep looking for what down the road I may be able in wisdom to let you see. I love that statement because it helps us understand the love of our Father, the love and care that He has for us, the love of our Savior for us. And what we find here is this intimate relationship that we're now brought into with the Trinity, it actually changes the way you and I live our lives. And that's where we see the second point that we're going to look at this morning. We now engage in the very works of Jesus as a new way of life. We see this in John 14, verse 12, where Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father." Out of this relationship, we become Christ's ambassadors. We become instruments in the Redeemer's hands through which His works continue to be carried out in the world today. Well, it begs the question, doesn't it? What are the works of Jesus? Well, when we read this passage, a lot of us go to the miracles and healings that Jesus did. Those are the works of Jesus, some might say. Feeding the 5,000, walking on water, healing the leper, giving sight to the blind. Well, what I want to do under this point is give three subpoints to unpack what does it mean for us to do the works of Jesus. First, I want us to look at how this speaks to the miraculous gifts and works of Jesus. Then we're going to look at the more common works of Jesus. And then finally, see how we're empowered to do His work. First, I want to speak to the miraculous works of Jesus. There's a wide spectrum of what people believe this verse, how they interpret the works of Jesus to be. Are they miraculous or are they not? Now, I want to share three views concerning the miraculous works of Jesus today. In the first view, some would say that the works of Jesus and these greater things cannot mean miracles and healings, because the miraculous gifts have ceased at the end of the apostolic era. So some holding this view would say that greater things mean, say, greater in scope. They're greater in scope because Jesus only ministered in one particular region of this world, whereas Christians today are all over the world giving testimony to what Jesus came to do. Therefore, they would say that the kingdom is being extended in greater ways now that Christ has risen at the right hand of the Father. That's the first view. The second view goes like this. There are those who would hold that there are some miracles that happen today. God is able, frankly, to do whatever He wants to do, but this by no means is the norm. So don't expect seeing miraculous works or healings taking place today. Now, this is similar to the first view, but it acknowledges that God can perform miracles today if He so chooses. And then there's the third view. There are others who would say that the works of Jesus include the miraculous works, and that they're still alive in the church today, and that they ought to be sought after, anticipated, and even expected. Now, I want to say this concerning those three views. Followers of Jesus differ on what they believe about the presence and practice of miracles today. And people at St. Andrew's share different views. And that's one of the things I love about this church, is that it's a place where, on this in particular, we can come together and have different views, but still have great love and fellowship with one another. I have such respect for those who share different views on this than mine. For many years, I held the view that miraculous gifts had ceased. Yet through continued study and the work of the Holy Spirit in my own life, I've come to believe that God has gifted His church with these gifts and that they do continue today, as well as the other gifts mentioned in the New Testament. Now, I want to say this about that. With that being said, we need to be careful that the works that Jesus is talking about here are not just works of healings and miracles. I believe that they include those, but they also include the more common works of Jesus. And that's the second subpoint I want us to look at for a moment. I want us to look at what are the common works of Jesus. Well, we see them as we read through the Gospels, don't we? That we love as He loved. We forgive as He forgave. We have compassion as He had compassion. We tangibly care for the needs of those who have great need around us. We love the widow and the orphan. We speak the truth in love. And frankly, the list goes on and on and on and on. Frankly, I believe that we need to become all the more familiar with the works of Jesus, these common works of Jesus. Because, friends, I believe that's one of the greatest ways that we see His kingdom being extended through us today, as He is doing those common works around us. You see, as we live out of the intimacy of the Trinity, we see that the works of Jesus become a new way of life for us. Well, there's still a challenge in this text, isn't there? We still haven't answered the question, what are the greater things? Well, as I have read many, many pages on this, I don't believe that we have absolute clarity as to what those greater things Jesus is referring to. I could give you a lot of different speculation that people have noted out there, but there are two things that I believe are true. The first is this. I believe that no one has or will ever exceed the power or majesty of the miracles that Jesus did. And the second thing I believe is this. What I do know is that we have all, in Christ, been given the Holy Spirit, who empowers us to be about the works of Jesus. In verse 12, when Jesus said, "And greater works than these He will do, because I'm going to the Father," He's just given us insight into a gift that we will receive that will enable us to do the works and even greater works, though we don't fully know what those are. And that's through the gift of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And this is the third subpoint that we find. This is where we see how we're empowered to do His work. We're empowered to do the works of Jesus through the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit alive in us. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us a boldness. He gives us a passion to do God's work, to see His kingdom being extended. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the humility of Jesus, that He would be exalted through our lives instead of us exalting ourselves. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us a boldness to proclaim the gospel truth. I was visiting with someone yesterday, and they were sharing a story about a missionary friend of theirs in Afghanistan. He's a missionary doctor there. And for quite a while, he's not been able to practice medicine until the coronavirus hit. And the government came and sought him out, not to imprison him, but to bring him in to utilize his medical gifts. And from what my friend has shared with me, this doctor is having a profound impact of the kingdom of God as he is medically caring for people. And he's seeing God open doors for him to boldly speak about the power and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This man is about the works of Christ in a very difficult place. And it's the Holy Spirit who opens the doors and gives us the ability to do that. You see, it's in the ordinary moments of the day, as we're being empowered by the presence of the Holy Spirit, that we give testimony to the works of Jesus. And through this, people come to believe. Now, I want to close with a few points of application for you this morning. The first is this: are you mindful about doing the works of Jesus as you go about your day? Are you mindful about them? Have they become a way of life for you? Have the works of Jesus truly become a way of life? You see, I believe they become a way of life as we abide in Christ, that throughout the day, as we're being fed by his life-giving word, we become more and more aware of what the works of Jesus are. And we begin to, through the power of the Spirit, bring those into our families, our places of work, the friends that we go walking with these days. I want to encourage you to pray. To pray that the works of Jesus would be displayed through your life today. And when you wake up tomorrow morning, pray that the works of Jesus would be displayed through your life that day. That the watching world would be filled with hope and come to faith in our Savior. And if God has so gifted you with miraculous gifts, pray that he would use you as an instrument through which he brings healing to others. Pray that you would do signs and wonders however the Lord would be pleased to do them through you. Pray that you would speak his truth with greater boldness. And remember, all of this must be done with great humility. That the works of Jesus that we do not point to us or do not puff us up, but rather that Jesus would be honored and glorified through how we live our lives day after day. The degree to which we understand and experience the deep, intimate love of God shown to us through Jesus will be the degree to which we live our lives doing the very works of Jesus, bringing his presence to those who today are searching for a better way. I believe as God's people pray, as we pray in Jesus' name, answers will come. And I believe that we will see miracles, and I would go so far as to say this, we will see the miracle of a spiritual transformation, of a life caught, wrapped up, chained in sin, becoming free to the glory of God. May that be our calling as we go forward in these days. That our prayer would be, Jesus, come do your works through me. That your kingdom would come among us in greater ways. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.